Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
You have that fine preacher voice on today.
Hallelujah.
Already this morning. Lord. Okay, March 27th.
Yes.
We have Isaiah 44:2. Isaiah 44:2. This is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant. Jeshurun, whom I have chosen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That'll make you excited, Mama.
I hope it does.
Our teaching today is entitled, Seven Ways to Avoid an Economic Meltdown.
That is definitely something we do not want to have.
Nope. Nor do we want anybody who follows our ministry to have that.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
I want to establish an immutable fact. We're not gloom and doom kind of people.
Right.
If you want somebody who's going to tell you the world is going to hell in a handbasket, well, you got the wrong preachers. If you want someone who's trying to connect all the dots and dates from Daniel and Revelation to prove it's the end of days, you got the wrong people. I haven't spent, honey, 1 minute past 20 years wondering or worrying about who the Antichrist is. Nor have I spent time fretting over the financial mess this country's in. And yes, America is in a mess. However, I believe if you have your faith and trust in God and His Word, then He will keep you protected during any and all financial turbulence. But the question remains, is there a vast economic conspiracy against the people of this and every other country? Absolutely. The attack is waged in every generation by none other than the devil. He's out to destroy our finances. Do I believe there's going to be a new economic world order replacing the current system? Absolutely. It's called the end-time transfer of wealth, and it's proven out in Proverbs 13:22 in the Classic Amplified Bible, which says, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner finds its way inevitably to the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. Do I believe that other countries are salivating over the prospects of an American economic collapse? Absolutely. The leaders of various totalitarian terrorist states hit everything about our one nation under God and the freedoms that we enjoy. Do I believe America's economic and, well, their policies are headed in the wrong direction? Absolutely. Neither a family nor a government can spend more than it earns without facing consequences. Do I think people, especially believers, should live within their means and be an example to others? Absolutely. Here are the seven things that we were directed to share with you on how to avoid an economic meltdown.
Number one, turn off the negativity of the news and turn on the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Which is full of hope. Look, the last thing you need to do tonight before you go to bed is listen to the 10 o'clock news, I can promise you.
Come on.
Now, that is unless you just don't want to sleep. But you've got a choice. You can either believe the report of the world or the report of the Lord. One of our favorite songs from
yes,
way back yonder, and I mean way back yonder, that we used to sing all the time in church, probably 40 years ago. Whose report are you going to believe? We shall believe
in
the report of the
Lord.
If you got any age on you, remember that one. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. We love that. That's what fires you up and keeps your faith hot. But the point of it is, if we're healed, filled, and free and have a victory, why should we be wringing our hands about the economic situation or any other kind of meltdown? His report says that if we stay in Him, we're protected. Psalm 91 is what we call a hedge of protection, chapter. And we encourage you to read it, meditate, memorize it. But let me read it to you from the this. Well, this is just part of Psalm 91. I didn't read the whole thing. Verses 14 through 16 from the Message Bible. It says, if you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you'll only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue them, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life and give you a long drink of salvation. That's now, that's what you call getting down with it.
That's
His report says that he answers our prayers. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14. I've always loved this. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14, classic Amplify Bible. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity.
Hallelujah.
His report says that he will give us peace. John 14:27, Classic Amplified. Jesus said to us, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Point is, his report says he gives us hope when everything seems hopeless. Jeremiah 29:11, we know it well. Jeremiah 29:11, the Living Bible. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Message Bible translation, that same scripture says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. So once again, we're going to ask you, whose report are you going to believe?
Hallelujah. One other thing, read Psalm 126, verses 1 through 4.
All right.
Psalm 126, verses
1 through 4.
We're going to do a teaching on it. And there's a question. Has your captivity been turned?
That's right.
Read that.
Think about it.
And shout. Number two, obey God's economic rules. Obey God's economic rules. Let's look at four of the main scriptural tenets of God's plan for our financial independence. Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which you swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Malachi 3:10, New Living Translation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of the heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room to take it in.
Oh.
Try it. Put me to the test. In the New Living Translation of James 1:27, religion that pleases God the Father must be pure and spotless. You must help needy orphans and widows and not let this world make you evil. And lastly, 2 Corinthians 9:8, Classic Amplified. And God is able to make all grace, every earthly favor and blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances, whatever the need, be sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work, charitable donation. You are blessed, or will be blessed, so that you can be a blessing to others. God does not prosper you for the purpose of raising your standard of living. He prospers you so that you can raise your standard of giving. As you raise your level of giving, your standard of living will also rise as a result. The four scriptures we just read, we think, are among the hallmark of God's economic plans. Plans which will keep you safe and secure from what's happening around you.
Oh, my. Number three. Will you get your money back? Absolutely, and seven times what was lost or stolen. There were times in the life when the enemy seems to take what belongs to you. You know what I'm saying? He'll steal income. Sometimes he'll steal a home or a family member, your time or your health. You're going to have to be aggressive in going after what the enemy has stolen. Proverbs 6:31, one of our favorites when it comes to stolen property.
Yes.
Proverbs 6:31 says it, but if he, the thief, be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Doesn't matter what happens around you. You know who's working on your behalf above and inside you. But listen to this. It says the thief. We know who the thief is. I don't care who he's using. If he's using your boss or, you know, or your relative or anybody else, it is the thief behind it, the devil himself. So Joel 2:25, I love this. Joel 2:25 says, but if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall go all the substance of his house. Actually, I think that's the one that says, Joel 2:25 says he will restore the cankerworm, what the cankerworm has stolen.
Satan, yeah.
And what the, so that's really what that one is. And what the moth has eaten, and he will restore it back to you. But anyway, it's what the enemy takes, or the world takes, has to be repaid to you. If you, well, let's put it this way. Don't think that the enemy of your soul is going to think twice before trying to take what is yours. But the point of it is payback is not only inevitable in, and actually in Matthew 28:18, it says, all power, listen to this now, all power was given unto Jesus in heaven and on earth, which means the enemy has none. Are you listening to me? The enemy has none. Don't give him any. Don't give him any by the words of your mouth. And look, we don't just sit here and talk about stuff that we don't back up with a lot of scripture. I didn't count all the scriptures we gave you this morning, but the point of it is we've given you plenty of ammunition.
That's right.
And if you know the words and you know the Lord, then you've got all the ammunition you need, and use it against him.
Amen. We're going to pick this up on tomorrow's call.
I guess we have to.
Yeah, we do. So we'll pick it up tomorrow. And
I can preach till 9. 9 our time.
I'd listen to you as long as you talk.
Thank you, baby. But you have, this is the first day of this week. It's going to be the best week ever.
Amen. Amen.
Because it's the only time you've ever lived this week.
And so until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
We love you. We appreciate you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.